Now, after all this nonsense, let's actually hit the intro. 3, 2, 1, go. Hey everyone, officially welcome to the Digital Cash Rundown, episode 156. I'm joined by the one and only Esteban Valdez, who finds my hilarious incompetence pretty funny, actually. How's it going, man?
Dude, we're chill.
Yeah.
Shitposting, having fun, so.
Yeah, there's just so much random nonsense, and yeah, I can't believe anyone watches the show, but you're on here anyway, so. You can say whatever you want because no one's going to see it. Anyway, so episode 156, we've had a bunch of these. We have a good show ahead. This is one of my, I think, one of our mutual favorite topics. We're going to get into this. There's a lot of fun, juicy things. I had a lot of fun on the thumbnail, which I sort of semi-reused from the Roger Ver interview thing. And I just sort of like, I think the constant breakdown of Bitcoin maximalist narratives is just something I could have every other show. I think I'm going to just do that because I'll have material. It's just like a constant headline of like, oh, guess what? Some new thing broke. So that's kind of where we're at. Remember, like, comment, share, subscribe. I finally hit 3,000 subscribers thanks to the Roger Ver interview. I got to like 25, 26, 28, somewhere in that range, like 3 years ago, and it just would not go higher. And then just like I'd net an extra like a subscriber per like 3 months or something awful. And finally, Roger got me over the edge. So hopefully that, I think I'm like shadow banned or something on YouTube, although everyone with ass content always wants to think they're shadow banned, so that's kind of how it is. But so let me hit this ad read for our good long-suffering friends at Coin ATM Radar, who like your spicy takes too, I'm sure. And whoops, I actually screwed that up. Well, why don't you say something? You were going to say something before I interrupted you, and now there you go. So have you been enjoying the meltdowns?
It's bittersweet. You know, it is a interesting times. And, you know, when I remember just trying to read up on all the blocks, you know, size war drama. I spent like the last, if you remember last year, I was going through it pretty hardcore, just like digging up as much as I could. And watching the reaction from a lot of maxis, real time, the censorship is definitely real and very potent. The cognitive dissonance is also very, very potent and thick. And it's just amazing to see this real time. The breakdown, watching... I was having a meetup yesterday, was chatting with someone about some of the ins and outs of the store of value narrative versus the medium of exchange narrative and how the stuff is promoted and who are they listening to and the books that it's just a really watching sort of their world kind of break, like the mask started coming off and sort of that glaze. I don't want to say a fluoride stare, but you know, they kind of got it.
Listen, that is amazing. Like that's what I'm going to call it. The maxi stare, the fluoride stare, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, they weren't exactly pleased, but at the same time, they started to understand that, you know, the store of value, you know, prop doesn't hold. Especially when you understand the Austrian angle of it all. And then that's the other part that really gets me is it's promoted as Austrian economics, right? Store of value, blah, blah, blah. But then you realize store of value is subjective. That's kind of the premise. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it just snaps, right? It's like...
Oh, look at all the fireworks in your background there.
Snaps. I did this especially for you. Give you a little... A little pizzazz. Hope you like that.
Yeah, upping the garbage production values on the show. Thank you. Thank you for service. Let me hit this news read, and then we'll go into this stuff because it's all the same subject. We can just pick up on anything. So, as I this show is very proudly sponsored by CoinATM Radar, and hit the read and talk a little bit more about it. When buying crypto with cash, an ATM is much more reliable and safer than meeting some random person in a random place. And unlike an exchange, which could freeze your account, or a custodial Lightning platform, okay, you truly own all the crypto you buy. With CoinATM Radar, you can find crypto ATMs and other services where you can buy or sell cryptocurrencies for cash, not KYC'd fiat. On their website, you can search by coin, address if the ATM supports selling as well as buying, and also can search by geo area. And you can check and compare actual current fees at different ATMs. If you want to find out more, go to coinatmradar.com or coinatmradar.com. That was a little fast. I should have done it slower. But the thing is, also check them out on X slash Twitter, because other than just, oh, new ATM here, and then they go and just like absolutely demolish some poor unsuspecting Maxi like out of the blue. They just, I don't know what caused them to start being this spicy, but they've started to be a little spicy. And I guess there's a reason. It maybe all my dumping all over the Maxi stuff has gotten them to be a little emboldened. Maybe they just
Maybe.
evolved that
I've
way.
really, yeah, I've really found that it's post ETF where a lot of the tension has started to rise, because that's been the focus for a long time. It's not the usage, it's not the freedom, it's not any type of sovereignty discussion. It's all on the ETF and who's buying what. It's just super speculative, and people are starting to see, I guess, the greed element of it all. And it's not exactly attractive, right?
Yeah, there's just a lot of that stuff. The store of value is interesting. Before we talk hit on the Roger stuff, the store of value stuff is interesting. And maybe this is a point that's better for the end of the show once we've sort of encapsulated the whole thing. But I've kind of found out that I, because I was there, I was there, Gandalf, I was there during the Black Size Wars, and I do remember that Roger has a, well, let me actually just read Roger's characterization thingy, because this kind of, that's important context for this. So, Block Works had an opinion after reading
Right.
Hijacking Bitcoin. I think we might ro owe Roger Ver a collective apology. Yes, and yes.
Very spicy. Who would have thought?
Yeah, and the thing is, Roger Ver had this book, Hijacking Bitcoin, which I did order, and I was hoping to have it today. Maybe it is just in the other room, just haven't gotten it yet to put, because I was going to put it on the shelf back there,
Yeah.
and
Mine
it's
comes
going to be there.
Monday.
There you go. Is it, I bet I know exactly. It's going to be the one book on your shelf that's like this way. It's just like, random books, right in people's face.
I bought two, just in case I ever bump into Roger and then, sign that cover.
Yeah, I mean, he might come to Bliss. I don't know. I'm not going to Bliss, unfortunately. I have to respond to Jonathan about that. But yeah, if you run into him. But yeah, so as far as the one point that Roger made when he was on my show last week, I think, or it was
Yeah.
published last week, was he said that like 90% of everyone was on the big block side, and then it's the very small loud minority won out. I think that that is,
Interestingly enough,
yes.
on that, sorry, Giacomo at
Yeah.
the Honey Badger conference last year said the exact same thing. And so
Wow,
did
he did.
Sergey. Yeah.
That 90%. So I will hair split. I don't know if it's a disagreement on him with that, but like I'll hair split on that. I'm like, I think that's largely true. But I think it was like a third of people were like big blockers, and then like another 10%, or maybe were like 15%, were like small blockers, and then the rest of them were, I want to stay out of it people, But
No, that sounds like our politics.
yeah, of course. However, where this is kind of correct, more correct with him, where it kind of rounds up to that 90%, is the I want to stay out of it people wanted big blocks as well. They wanted, or I don't know if they really care, they just wanted Bitcoin to work and continue to work. And they wanted a solution, and big blocks were the easy way to get there. And they just were like berated by the small percentage of people about like, oh, we can't do this, it's dangerous to even double the block size. And they're like, they weren't buying it, but they also like didn't want to just jump into the fray because every time they mentioned something, they got hugely attacked. And so,
So
yeah.
Giacomo, he said something similar. He's like, oh, yeah, towards the end of the block size wars, the majority of people wanted to be big blocks. And then the conversation got derailed. That's a little bit off on the paraphrasing, but if anybody's interested, you can search for Honey Badger Conference 2023. It's the second day and it's the last panel. So you could skip all the way to the end for like the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. So I watched like I like looking at numbers and stats. I watched the block signaling thing. Roundabout, so Bitcoin Core was like the number one implementation or whatever, still is much more today than it was back in the day. But the varying, there was like Bitcoin XT, Bitcoin Classic, there's a few different big block implementations that were being used during that time. And miners were signaling support for those. They didn't actually like lock in because that would start to create like a fork, but they were basically signaling that they would like this. And I think the latest of these got to like 54% of hash rate, like the slim majority, or 56, somewhere in there. But the clear majority, but very small majority, was explicitly signaling for bigger blocks. Now the rest was not signaling for smaller blocks, they were just status quoing. And so that's what I mean by like there was big block support, but there's also like, But then as soon as this New York agreement, which is super maligned, and honestly, I think it was a strategic, not a smart move because you got Coinbase, you got a whole bunch of exchanges, you got everyone together and made this agreement behind closed doors. No. Like, I get that you want to keep the trolls out, but you got to just say, we are going to boldly say this in public. We're all coming together. We support this compromise and we're going to move forward with it. They did it behind closed doors, which ended up giving their enemies ammo. But as soon as that happened, it wasn't just, oh, a few companies decided to hijack Bitcoin. I remember overnight, the hash rate in support of SegWit2x, because SegWit had like a 20% hash rate signaling support when the big block Bitcoin had like a 56 or something like some percent. So there was like the two of them were sort of like the small block versus the big block hash rate signaling war. The big block was overwhelmingly winning, but not quite enough. Overnight, the SegWit signaling went to 90% plus because of the New York agreement. So it wasn't just a couple of companies. It was all the miners just were like, sure, let's get SegWit activated. And as soon as it gets activated, we'll do the other one. Now the Maxis freaked out about, but they were quieter about the freak out. They waited till SegWit got activated, till they got their part, and then they freaked out about the block size stuff and just got everyone to scared to back off. That's kind of how that happened. And then when the block size, when the Bitcoin Cash split happened and other stuff, most people who were on the side of big blocks never went over. They mostly just stayed in Bitcoin, just kind of like not wanting to rock the boat, not wanting to do anything. And they slowly kind of petered out into like Eric Forsey is one of these people. And that's one criticism I have of him, I guess. Great man. He should have grown a pair and sided with Roger and stuff. And he's still like talking, oh, Bitcoin, financial freedom. Like, dude, you use this stuff. You were there. Like, you should.
Yeah, it's kind of like Andreas Antonopoulos too. He went
Yeah.
silent.
He's
So, I
over time,
mean,
he definitely did. Yeah.
from what I look at, I don't want to put anybody in the us versus them enemies, etc. I'm kind of trying to take a very 30,000 foot view of just everybody's made mistakes on both sides, right?
Absolutely.
And it definitely sucks that it happened, because it seems like a lot of relationships, a lot of progress, broke. whether, I mean, I'm waiting to read Roger's book. You know, I've already read The Block Size Wars as well, so I'm semi-familiar with a lot of the details there. And after my own research, you know, it's that book is definitely called into question now. So I'm waiting to see if Roger's book, you know, kind of aligns with anything that I found. You know, I'd hopefully not confirmation bias, you know, prematurely, but I just think that, okay, what's done is done. It's in the past. This shit's not getting fixed. You know, we can't go back in time, but we can go forward. And I think that was in the Blockworks article. They mentioned that, or at least like quoted Roger about, hey, you know, we see things have already happened. We know what the result is. Now it's about what you do moving forward. And I kind of agree with that approach. So, you know, it just sucks how it all happens. This division in culture between the Maxis and everybody else is incredibly childish. It's not productive. And also just watching the fallout. Like right now, what is it, Matt O'Dell? I have a lot of respect for him, and what he's trying to do as far as like preaching privacy goes. Because no one else in the space, you know, in the BTC side, is promoting privacy except O'Dell and Martin Bent. And when Elon, you know, and X gave everybody the blue check, Matt, you know, deleted his Twitter account and saying Noster only. And then a lot of other people started doing the same, you know, leaving Twitter to focus on Noster. And the thing I that's just kind of ironic is this is kind of self-censorship. You're explicitly knocking yourselves out of the conversation. You're never going to hear that side. It's just going to be a bigger, more ossified echo chamber, which is not productive. So, and I was watching it real time. Like, I'm taking notes, man. I've got my notebook here every time something happens. Like, oh, this happened here. Great. What does this mean? How do we reflect back?
Yeah,
And
you're
I
watching.
know there are other, yeah, I know others are keeping receipts as well. And it's kind of, it is sad, you know? And I think even more so because of things like the ETFs. I think, was it between Fidelity, BlackRock, MicroStrategy? They own close to a million Bitcoin, right? That's in the hands of institutions. And I mean, still, the majority of Bitcoin is in the hands of all these individuals. And, you know, there's, you know, very little time for the BTC side to make any kind of noise about what they want. But I think it's dangerous times to start, you know, cutting your nose to spite your face, right? And blocking things out. I think it's, that's the wrong move.
We'd have almost a decade of that though. And I
I know.
will, like, there were of course some like aggressive nerds in the beginning who were small blockers because they just me, I wanted to run my own node, everyone should too, kind of stuff.
The
Obviously, as
dashers of the
I'm
world.
was that?
The dashers of the world.
No, except not that they don't always run their own node, but yes, I am the me of the world for sure. But like you did have oh, I mean like Luke Jr. you mean. Yeah, that, yes, that there was definitely that. There was definitely an aggressive, purposeful censorship campaign as well, as I'm sure Roger details in his book. Although from what I hear about the book, he's it reads almost like his lawyer was consulting him to make sure to like avoid defamation claims. So it's very like muted in how aggressively describes it. He's like, well, this like very factual, like, which I think is good. You should be factual in this kind of stuff. It's let losers like me on this show kind of like talk about all the rest. But like, the thing is, I will steel man. I will give a lot of NGU people a pass a little bit. Not a lot, very little. But here's the point. People didn't want to rock. Like, it's easy to be like a crazy toxic person, just like I want my way or the highway. I want to wreck it all. Okay, the Elmo burning shit down. You know, like it's easy to be that. But then when you invested so much money into building these Bitcoin businesses to further the global financial revolution, and then you're thinking that maybe big blocks are better than small blocks, but like you don't want to cause chaos. You want to just continue to build and grow the ecosystem. You're like, well, okay, whatever. And then when you see a split, so okay, now there's Bitcoin forks, there's two, and then you stick with ultimately what caused the SegWit 2x not to win is because SegWit 2x was not built by the core team, the Bitcoin core developers. It's built by other developers, and there were a couple of bugs discovered which weren't serious, but they were enough to get people spooked about, like, we're entrusting the future of this giant financial network to untested developers. So they went with, like, and then in the early days of Bitcoin Cash, there was fires and exploits and things all over the place. And so even people that were partial to that were like, come on, like, I'm going to be conservative for now, even though whatever. But then the thing is, number goes up, it tells you you're right if you're a small blocker, sort of. It's not necessarily true, but it tells you you're right. And then you're like, I really wish this, I really wish that. But if you keep winning, if you do the wrong thing, keep winning, are you doing the wrong thing? It's just hard to then eventually, if you keep on falling in love with the winning metric that you keep getting, then it's like, okay, well, no one can use it. Okay, well, L2 is this. Okay. Then you've over 1,000 cuts, right? You end up today where you've just been like, we're doing the right thing over and over, but how do we do the wrong thing for so long? Oh, it's because we didn't take the brakes. Hey, hold on. What are we doing? What are we actually doing here? And then let's ignore that things are winning.
There's Aaron Day put out this tweet a couple days ago about, markets are always speaking, like the market, it's not just spoken once, and showing the WorldCom stock. And watching that number go up, go up, go up until it doesn't, and then, you know, complete collapse over a couple of years. And I think this is sort of the bigger issue when it comes to price signals. I mean, fiat's one hell of a drug. I mean, great, you can get all this fiat and you know, say, hey, I'm winning. I made the right move because all I did was buy and hold. But I'm not looking at any fundamentals of the company. I'm not looking at any fundamentals of the protocol, or I'm not looking at any of the macro factors that affect this stuff. And you have this false sense of security, and then when it no longer works, I mean, it's bound to break.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. So when people rest on their laurels and they forget about the thing that makes a company great, that makes a team great as well, you know, I'm a former New England Patriots fan, right? Tom Brady era, and watching them, you know,
but who couldn't be
rise up the ranks? Well, I mean, they were in my backyard.
Who wants to be a fan of losers?
I mean, my dad was a Patriots fan since the 70s. You know, we were Patriots fans.
He must have loved that era.
Yeah, he did. You know, and so people forgot that. You know, it's all the components that made a great team, and then when the team fell apart, the team just like lost. You know, and it's the same thing with Apple. Apple used to be a really good company, and now it's sort of a shell of its former self. X is kind of in that, you know, trying to figure something out. But Bitcoin as well, hey, great, the number's up, but what's the usage? I mean, it's when we see the numbers from like Coin Cards, and that BTC is still, you know, 40% of the usage. You're like, that's great, you know, keep using, you know. But if it's the number go up factor only, I don't think that's sustainable.
And yeah, a real quick addendum on Coin Cards.
Yep.
Those people piss me off so much because they're clearly pro Monero people. They've clearly gotten a lot of Monero purchases there, and they've deliberately jerked Dash around a lot of times. Like, say, oh, it's not working, we're going to disable it for now. Oh, well, we'll do it again there, and then all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of like, and then whenever I call them out on it, then they block me. Like, I'm blocked by all of them. Like, so they're little bitches, but whatever. The point is that it is a data point though, because then
Dash never gets on the Coin Cards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're on Bitrefill, it's so many superior alternatives. It's like, you don't really need it. But anyway, if you add the Coin Cards thing to, now BitPay, where Litecoin has It took the lead for like a month or two, then dipped. But now, as far as I know, it's consistently the most used coin on BitPay. Yep. And, you know, BitPay is annoying. I don't like using them either, unfortunately. But there's you start to correlate all these stats together and you start to see, oh yeah, Bitcoin's not the, you know, BitRefill is another one. Bitcoin is, and they're they were. I don't think they're anymore. They were a maxi company. And they quietly got rid of all their Lightning Network services where they like open a channel for you and stuff. They're just like done. They're just like, we're just going to do what we do and let people pay with Lightning, pay on chain, pay with all kinds of coins, including Dash. Thank you so much. And like all, and just, we're going to like make crypto great again. We're in a very muted in the background kind of way. But all these things that you're saying, they all point to the same thing, which is Bitcoin's not winning for what it should have been done. The thing is, the number go up, as long as number goes up, people won't change. But watch how quickly people get convictions as soon as number stagnates or goes down. Then all of a sudden, the repressed, you know, people who've been paid off by the price, who their principles have been paid off by the price, but they're still conflicted. All of a sudden, they're not going to be conflicted anymore. All those principles are going to go, boom, just come pop right out.
Yeah, that's the frightening part, because when those brands break, like, it's violent and it's really, it's nasty. I often point to, like, the Bud Light dump when they put Dylan Mulvaney on there. Like, hey, you had, you know, Budweiser's a huge brand. Bud Light was, another top seller for them. And they decided to go woke. And it was almost within a week, Bud Light itself just crashed. The company stock crashed. Everything was just, you know, a total fire sale for a while until they did some damage control.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Brands break. I mean, I'm surprised with Apple as well, you know, having a back door in the M1 and M2 chips that people haven't protested in mass. But that's also because Apple never said anything. You know, they weren't open about these things. So that could happen with Bitcoin as well. That's the part that I get worried on. You know, when things collapse and people have all their life savings invested in it, or companies are built around that, you know, that's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's the real sad part, is when things start to kind of go down. That's why, like, you start by focusing Bitcoin does all these things, and then it stops doing something. Like, well, it does all these things, and you can't, it doesn't. And finally, just like savings technology goes up. And then when that, it, you put all your chips on that, then that one starts to falter, then the whole thing collapses. It, I should bring up this thing that Vlad the Impaler of Maxi Nonsense, Vlad says, the Vlad Costea or Costea, well, I don't know how he said it. Anyway, he says, I honestly believe Roger Ver is one of the best spoken libertarians around. His participation in Bitcoin can, at least partially, revive the forgotten spirit of agorism. I see him as the anti-Michael Saylor, as he has the communication skills to make Bitcoin libertarian again. And yeah, I mean, 100%. And that's why he was Bitcoin Jesus, who again rose from the dead over Easter just now. I mean, coincidence, right? He came back. So, yeah, Bitcoin Jesus is back and he's pissed.
Dude, it's fucking stupid.
It's so dumb, but I think it's funny. I don't think he timed that on purpose, though. I think he just got the book. I just happened to be over Easter, and then, you know, just a funny, you know, allegory. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely, like, when I was in the space, like, 2019, and then trying to get my business going in 2020, I forgot which one of Roger's talks he gave, but that inspired me to go all in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm trying to spread everything, spread Bitcoin to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So my company was one of the first animation studios to accept Bitcoin and pay people in Bitcoin. Like, I put that much belief in the system. And not only that, but I mean, like, when you have one sat per V byte fees, and things were working semi, okay, because everybody's lightning, 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 and on chain is pretty quiet. That was I enjoyed it. I enjoyed those times. And it sucks when it stops being like that. And it kind of hurt. I don't know, maybe I'm too empathetic. But watching other people try to get into the space now, they want to exit fiat, they want to do something different. And the questions I have to ask them is, well, what are your goals? Like, why are you getting in the space? Are you here for number go up, or are you here for freedom go up? Because those are two very different things. And freedom go up, yeah, and number go up eventually. But it just kind of sucks that things aren't as they were, as hopeful or delightful as before. Now I'm a little bit more on the pessimistic side,
Yeah,
which
for
is
BTC. The
for BTC. Yeah, the
space is
space is
definitely cool.
interesting. Yeah, I have appreciated, being in Monero and, using Litecoin. Dash for bill payments right now has been really good. So I don't know if you worked any magic with Spritz, but that's been a
Yes.
nice. But I mean, at this point, I've just become multi-coin. That's just the way it is. I am not fucking with Lightning anymore. That's just for
Yeah.
anything serious. It's just I have a business to run. I got people to pay. Got a wife to keep happy.
Yeah, just make it work. Although speaking of the make it work thing, right? Well, let me just hit on this Dan Darkpill. I don't know who that is, but they're on Twitter, so might as well be a human being. Posted a thing that said had the kind of a parody of the Roger's book says, "My failed hijacking of Bitcoin," had Roger flipping everything off. And the maxis are so triggered at this, but they don't have arguments. They're just like, "Ah, look at these losers," and that's it. There's no like, and they're starting to lose the information war. But the thing that we shouldn't, my friends over in the Bitcoin Cash community, the good people there, are taking a well-deserved victory lap on this. At the same time, I don't think that replacing maximalism with maximalism fixes things. Especially this thing I saw, which Vlad, which in Vlad's to his eternal credit, is kind of like he's not. He's kind of like taking pot shots at both sides a little bit. And this is an interesting thing. He just said Bitcoin Cash had its halving about 15 hours ago, and the hash rate dropped so drastically that users had to wait up to 141 minutes for the next block. And he says, still not great. What was supposed to be a 50% slowdown in the block issuance turned into like a 70% one. So, I mean, I'm sure you know how like the halving, how like the difficulty mechanism. The thing that annoys me about this, and this is like, this is the, I try not to talk too much. I try to avoid friendly fire, right? Because that's what I sort of view too much criticism of like the good principles focused projects are is like friendly fire. The thing is, in 2014, the very first feature of Dash, before it was called Darkcoin, when it was called Xcoin for like a week or two until they was something called Dark Gravity Wave, which adjusts the difficult mining difficulty every block. So you would never have this change in block issue. It's really more than just a small blip. This is 2014 tech. It's 2024. Just because Bitcoin got ossified and you're the one that didn't, but you're still ossified. Like, where's the in good faith? How are you saying that? Oh, this is the solution. If you still have these glaring problems where like the hash rate could, do something crazy, and then all of a sudden people are waiting all day for their transactions, and like, oh no, but we beat the dumb maxis, so our problems are fine. Like, no, maybe we need to fix all the problems, maybe, just maybe.
Maximalism versus maximalism is unproductive and stupid.
Yes.
Like it doesn't work long term. Hey, take the win, congrats, but you have issues too. That's just the way
Yeah.
this works. I mean, you have all of these chains, and I've been thinking about this one I think the day you started really getting a lot of altcoins on the scenes is because everybody's trying to solve a problem. They were trying to get rich quick. But there's got to be at least some discussion where, hey, this chain's doing something really interesting. Because I remember that's how it used to be. Litecoin was doing something, interesting,
Yeah.
so Bitcoin would adopt it. And, I mean, that type of ingenuity would be great to come back. But at this point, it just seems like everything is, it's too fractured, too splintered. It's just like Solana. I think Solana was another up and coming riser. Then they turned off for what, a few hours or more, and transactions weren't able to go through either. So I mean, nothing's perfect.
Yeah, and
So.
Solana, as far as I know, again, I haven't used it, and I probably won't use it based on how things have been going. But supposedly they're being used, have a ton of usage, and are actually processing a ton of legitimate transactions. However, there's something like a 50-some percent transaction failure rate, where you'll send in most, by a slim margin, most transactions, you just will not go through. You have to try again. That is not good. And I understand if you're super at capacity at higher than everyone else's capacity, other than the sharded chains, the Multiverse X's and the Near protocol and the other million things that whatever. Other than those, if you have higher capacity than them and you're failing trans than everyone else and you're failing transactions, you get more of a pass. But it's still like, oh, this is not good. We have to. This isn't production ready. We need to like fix this.
Yeah, I wonder what would have happened if in the block size was we went the other way, right? We did increase the blocks. Like all of the things people are experiencing now with like high capacity outages, et cetera, like would we have already accelerated that back then? Or we'd still have these issues now, right? Because back then, right, you as you saw, a lot of people were starting to use Bitcoin and it had a lot of popularity. And maybe there was a lot of potential if it did have gone to the bigger block size. Maybe more people would have entered the space. You'd have the problems, of capacity, storage, bandwidth, et cetera. Maybe all of that would have been solved by now. But instead, it feels like, no, we're getting to these points now, which kind of furthers the conspiracy theory about the reasons why, things were hijacked, quote unquote. Because you have the ETFs, the institutions are here, they're buying it all up now in record amounts. CBDCs are set to launch later this year and going forward. And people are just trying to get, scaling done still.
Yeah, they're
So,
still
I
at
mean,
like, people are still living in 2014.
but I mean, if the conspiracy is to purposefully slow down the network in order for the banks and institutions and governments to catch up, then now it kind of seems like, yeah, that seems to be the case. So.
Yeah, it does. The thing is, a technological advancement of the space has not slowed at all. It's been going full speed ahead, all different directions. The problem is, it's like the economic actor was Bitcoin forever. And then there's Bitcoin and ETH, now still mostly Bitcoin ETH, got some Solana in there, whatever. Solana might just be a flash in the pan at this point. Like, we don't even know if it's going to have staying power. There's not a lot going on as far as like massive levels, percentage wise. Now, what I think that if things had turned out differently, today would be radically different as far as like how far into the adoption of cryptocurrencies we'd be with, it'd be much better today. I do think that we would not be as far along 10 years from now as this trajectory, because I think that Bitcoin would have, we needed to learn to not be centralized around one chain, especially one chain that can't do everything and won't do everything, even if it gets scaling right and managed to fix, make sure transactions are relatively easy to confirm quickly, and then fix, get some like basic scripting improvements so you can do some basic, virtual machine type stuff, and like just do a few modest increases. You still wouldn't have like there'd still be the massive mining problem where someone could take over mining pools, and then that'd be a huge issue. Still, the difficulty adjustment still hasn't been addressed by any of the Bitcoin forks, as far as I know. There's just so many problems that then you get fresh start cryptos that are just like, oh, I'm going to get on-chain governance fixed right away. I'm going to get programmability. I'm going to figure out my sharding. How about privacy and stuff like that? Like, the zero-knowledge privacy on Bitcoin, probably, I don't know, I'm 50-50 on if that would have happened by now, even with big blocks. It might not have. It might have been people are like, no, this is too risky. You could have an inflation bug on the ZK side, and then there's like trillions of Bitcoin printed, and then people lose their money, and we just don't even risk that. And it's like,
yeah,
maybe, maybe. So
yeah, there's a lot of maybes. You know, I try not to do the woulda, coulda, shoulda, but, you know, it's very interesting to see how at this point in time, a lot of the stuff people were saying has come to light.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me hit on the strike thingy, because, you know, strike on strike. That was a good day. It was a fun day, at least. So important to send globally to Argentina, which, by the way, I have to say, in retrospect, I wanted to edit what exactly the text I said in response to this to be slightly more precise, but it already took off too much. I didn't want to screw everything up, so just let it be. But so, hey, we're reaching out to inform you that as of Friday, whatever, we'll no longer support send globally transactions between U.S. and Argentina, i.e. sending from U.S. to Argentina, like fiat, basically using Strike rails. This is due to our payments partner in Argentina winding down operations while sending cash to be converted into local currency bank account is no longer an option. You can still send Bitcoin and cash directly to Strike users in the country through the app. So you could still send, you just can't cash out with Strike in Argentina anymore. So they lost a fiat processor, is really the big thing.
Right.
Now, so my criticism, I guess, applies more to globally, like the Lightning movement, pushing it all into these custodial things, conflating decentralized Lightning Network, which Mahler's done so much. He like pretends like his company is Lightning and the Lightning experience is his company, but then reseparates them at his convenience, like right now. And so I just said, guess what? Custodial Lightning wallet doesn't work in Argentina anymore. Part of it doesn't work anywhere in Argentina. Let me, again, that's, well, the clarification.
Let's yes. be clear. It's not a wallet. It's an account.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Coinbase.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If your wallet requires you to KYC and AML, it's an account. Mm. That's essentially, it's a new bank. At least that's what I've been calling them. They're new banks. And that's fine. You know, there's a service. There's a market for it. People will use it. That's up to them. Great. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, call it what it is. Clever marketing terms aside, it's, I think people need to be a lot more upfront about the product. And not hiding it behind these, you know, terminologies. Because I remember at one point they were saying, oh, yeah, if you give us Bitcoin, if you put Bitcoin in Strike and you send it, it can be sent as dollars. And that the back end of it was Ethereum's, right? Do you remember this one? That they were using stable coins as a way to have instant sends? I think that was like in 2020 that popped up. And I think since then they've moved that to something else. But
yeah, I think maybe. And then people attacked him, but very few, because it didn't stick, because he was the custodian or whatever. The thing is, he does something like send money, like Bitcoin's amazing, Lightning, open protocol, this. So you can, and then he talks about this feature where you send money. Yep. It's like, that's your company. That's not Lightning. So he's conflated these things. So this is what I'm talking about here. It says they lied to you that Lightning was going to fix everything. They lied to you that you're actually using Lightning so they could cover up awful user experiences. Ever wonder what else they're lying to you about? So I'm not saying Lightning doesn't work. This is about this. I'm talking about the lies, the misrepresentation of all this being Lightning. Oh, yeah. Like when he did the Moon Wallet, remember? When he's like, yo, I'm going to send money to anywhere through Twitter. Blah. And he like sends an on-chain transaction from an on-chain wallet that just LARPs into Lightning at the other end. And he presented that like this is a lightning experience, and it's like, be honest
there
about
was
what
the
you're showing.
yeah there was one where he did at the convenience store, right? And that was
oh,
the
yeah.
big show. He's like,
and
we're gonna have this
back.
POS terminal. I mean, granted, out giving the benefit of the doubt, dude, it's probably really difficult. POS terminals, there's a monopoly there, and not mm-hmm. easy to break in. But there was so much hype, and maybe, I don't know, this is where my disillusionment with the BTC space has been as of recent, which there's been a lot of goalpost shifting and a lot of empty mm-hmm. promises. And that gets really annoying. And it's also embarrassing when you're trying to onboard people and try to get them to become anti-fiat, you know, maxis. And saying, hey, let's use freedom money. Oh, but it's really expensive. Well, we can use this because it's really cheap. Oh, it's custodial and it's not, you know, all that tracked up to be.
Do you remember Joe Nakamoto? I'm sure you've seen him.
Yeah, I know him. He's, you know,
he seems like a nice guy. And
yeah.
he's working hard to promote Bitcoin and onboard people. That
yeah.
much, it seems obvious. However, when I would kindly suggest he onboard people to Phoenix, which is the closest you get to a real Lightning wallet with a good user experience, he just blocked me. He didn't want me to. Because I said, whoa, no, why? Well, I wasn't mean about it. I was very nice. It's like, oh, no, why wallet of Satoshi? Why don't you have him do Phoenix? And he'd be like, blocked. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the, like, I've met Joe a few times, had a couple combos. He's a nice guy. I believe
yeah.
he's doing well. But that's the thing with this whole like maximalist. Everything is just so ossified. And if you start poking at it, right, it should be as strong as bone, but it just fractures. And
yeah, they block you before you can poke, though.
Yeah, it's very emotional. And I think this is a damaging thing about this space. People just get way too attached to a tool. I mean, at least for me, yeah, it's for me, this is a tool. It's a I don't think I brand myself as, you know, oh, I'm a total maximalist for this coin or that. I mean, yeah, there's a newsletter Living on Bitcoin, but that was written when that's what you were trying to do.
mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to make progress and be productive when everybody is just too emotionally involved with a thing. You know?
Absolutely. I find this in the entire rest of the space, and this is something I had to sort of unlearn a little bit, because I was just using Bitcoin and anything else back in the day. Then when I started to get into other stuff, I kind of did like a 90% Bitcoin to like 90% Dash switch. And I kind of exhibited crypto community behaviors for a few years. Like, that's not true. Like arguing against the FUD and like, you know, that kind of stuff, like did a little bit of that. And then after and from 2017 to from 2019 to the beginning of this year with my whole, like, just trying to build up my own channel and stuff, I like intentionally tried to demaxify my brain as much as I can to just be like, look, I'll use whatever, I'll promote whatever, I'll say everything in good faith, I'll do whatever. I obviously still have my biases, I still have financial incentives here and there. I still got all that stuff, but I'm just trying to not be that way anymore because of like, I notice that's the drug. Maximalism is the drug, not BTC nonsense. Because I notice that every single one, they start to jump in another community and they appeal to whichever one has the strongest appeals to them, whether it's the Bitcoin Cash world, and then they have a whole host of problems they ignore there. And then you got like the Monero community and like there's so much bullshit with them over the years. Did you see the Maxi Derangement guy was giving me shit today?
Yeah.
Because he's like, KYC, it was early in the week. He's like, KYC is for cucks or something for your crypto. I agree if you can avoid it, but it's better than KYC in your fiat. And somehow he can't address, oh, he's living on fiat, the bitch. And then today he's like, just use Monero when I'm complaining about long confirmation times. I'm like, that's going to be even longer, you dumb piece of, you know, it's just, there's, it's, Like, be realistic about what you're talking about. And there's so little of that in the space. It's all, you know, it's all over the place.
It's a Maximum is a one hell of a drug. I mean, it's very tribal. It's sports teams and oh, hey, Apple's way better than Windows. No, Linux
I mean,
is.
that
You
is
break
true.
into the See? Exactly. You're proving the point, right?
No, but like, I don't go after people for having, you know, Apple or iOS, whatever. I don't care. You can do what you want as long as you're happy. But it is funny when people try to say, "Oh, you're not an iPhone user, you have an Android user." I'm like, not even. I
Yeah,
just
like
don't
no,
know where to go with that.
this is graphene, bitch. You
Yep.
know we're all... But then you also have graphene maxis too, versus Galaxy.
I can't even go past gray. Like, I graphene works great for me, and I'm gonna stop there. I have no reason to go beyond there. I
Yeah,
just
what I would really like, I don't know, in my ideal world, is people starting to promote the. If there is a maximalist point of view, I would want it to be more of the Freedom Maxis stuff. That's where I would like the conversations to go, is be free, do things that'll make you more sovereign over time, you know, and because that's where the most amount of the more free people, the more prosperous people become. And I would love to see that more and more promoted versus my coin's this, my coin's that, my tech's this, my tech's that. Like these narratives, they're so temporary and so fleeting versus, hey, your sovereignty is absolute. It should be the thing that attracts people. And it's just really interesting to see at this point how many people don't know what privacy is, even at the basic part of it, right? Especially people born like post 2000. It's never been private. They don't know what that is. They don't know what it feels like. Or people, like us, born after anybody born after 1971, we don't know what real money actually is, how it was to spend, 5 cents on a cup of coffee. Like, what is that? Now you're paying like $15 for fucking cappuccino if you're really fancy.
Pick you up, bitches. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it is crazy. The why is always a good reason, because people get humans love to come up with things that they like, principles or whatever. Then they find a tool or an organization or a set of whatever that fits that mold, and then they abandon the principles to hug onto the tool, and then the tool goes away from the principles, and then they don't care, still on that thing. And that's the inherent, like, maximalist thing. Just like the lightning thing. People thought, like, oh, yo, if you implement lightning, that's how Bitcoin gets to the world. Which brings us back to the whole Coinbase thing. So, David Marcus said, thrilled to announce that Coinbase has selected LightSpark to enable Bitcoin Lightning Network access across its platform and many services. Yet another significant milestone for Lightning to many millions of new people in 100 plus countries coming soon. Cool. And then Nikita Zhivarov of Blockchair, who's been very spicy these days, also proud to work with him. You know, we've done some business partnerships and stuff. He's a cool dude. Anyway, and I love the product anyway. But he quoted them. He says, LightSpark conducts screening for U.S. economic sanctions for jurisdictions subject to comprehensive U.S. sanctions by OFAC. He says, get your KYC documents ready and welcome to the future of Bitcoin payments. Lightning is not Bitcoin, it's a scam. That last bit, I will say, not Lightning as the technology, but Lightning as the movement is definitely a scam. As the concept. The actual technology, it's just a tech, it's a thing. But as far as like what Lightning was promoted, it was fraudulently promoted. Kind of like how the SEC can say your token is not a security, but you sold it as a security. It's kind of the same thing with Lightning.
I made a couple of memes on this one, which I find really interesting, just going through the thought experiments. All right, you have these large financial institutions who are capable of managing high liquidity for Lightning. I think Grant from Litecoin Underground, he made this whiteboard about, hey, we have this big node and everybody's going to start pointing to that bigger node because it has more liquidity. And then it starts to act like a bank. Okay, so the Lightning infrastructure looks and operates like a bank. The new bank. Then you have Nostr, which is integrated Lightning into that. So you have social media accounts that are linked, to these banks. And it's interesting as well with Nostr, where you need to connect to relays unless you're running one of your own. And at any point, you could also be kicked out from a relay, or the relay disconnects or goes away, or whatever the case may be. And the more and more you kind of look at it, it's like this kind of feels like a CBDC in the making. If we're really, really honest about it, it's like, okay, hey, you have this node running in this jurisdiction. Well, the operations for a Lightning node kind of fits the qualifications for money transmitting services or money services business. That might, maybe not, every Lightning node itself, but maybe the larger entities will end up having to KYC AML their user base. I think that's what happened with Wallet of Satoshi, which is why it's no longer in the US, right? Is
Yeah.
so
And then
those
Exodus
things kind of.
wanted to provide support for Lightning, so they just plugged in Wallet Satoshi. Now they get rugged with the same thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the more and more, you kind of look, I mean, I was just making the meme, joking around, but it kind of has that air, the CBDC aroma floating around it. And I don't
I
know.
need to make a meme of that bit that the
The
CBDC aroma. Just make some
new
coffee
aroma.
beans, like the
Yeah.
CBC aroma.
And I would hate for things to go that way. But when you have apps like Strike, when you have LightSpark, joining in with Coinbase, I think another one that kind of gave hint to that was Basecamp, which is a project management site. I had been talking with them for a while to start accepting Bitcoin, as payment because I like the product. I used it a lot. And, I no longer use them, moved on to other things at this point. Then they finally came out and said, hey, we're going to start accepting Bitcoin cryptocurrency payments. You have to do it through Coinbase Commerce. And of course, that little debacle, which is if you're going to use Bitcoin payments on Coinbase Commerce, it has to be through a Coinbase account.
Yeah, or their
So,
L2s, including their L2 base.
yeah. So it's really interesting to see that number one, Coinbase is the custodian for all these ETFs, right? And then all these other institutions, okay, LightSpark's getting in there to provide Lightning services, et cetera. I mean, all of it to me doesn't bode well long term.
It's all trash. Yeah, and as in a follow-up comment, Nikita said, "says it's an issue because someone's a how is this an issue for Lightning? It should be just." And he says, "It's an issue with Lightning because when you run a Lightning hub, you become an easily identifiable money transmitter. Unlike Bitcoin, Lightning is not P2P. It's a mostly centralized custodial system susceptible to KYC." And that kind of goes to this next post he pointed out, and then. The problem is when he's trashing a lot of like good people that I know in the Lightning ecosystem who are just principled and hardworking and not into the custody stuff. But Breeze, so Breeze said we're under a DDoS attack. We appreciate your patience. And then Nikita, as if in infinite aggression, comes on and says, "Unlike Lightning Network wallets, real Bitcoin wallets never go down. Lightning is not Bitcoin." And so I sort of followed up and asked about like, "You mean you can't DDoS a regular wallet?" And the answer is, as far as I know, you can, but you can DDoS the nodes that, let's just say you have a custodial wallet, like a non-custodial on-chain wallet, and it connects to like Edge wallet. Edge has some nodes that they run to do that. You could DDoS those nodes for sure, and then you wouldn't be able to access your stuff there, but it's so easy to just connect to some other node. You can't DDoS the whole network, right? Whereas, like, so for example, if
Yeah, I
you
think that
have,
happened
yeah.
with Monero, right? So Monero was going through, I think an adjustable block size, and then there was like 100,000 plus transactions happening. Some nodes went down, and then Cake Wallet was like, hey, if you're pointing to any of our nodes, there's some disruption, but here's the addresses to nodes that you can point your wallet to. So to that point, yes, it's like, yep, you can have issues on node bandwidth getting DOSed or DDoSed, but then you can point to something else, right?
It's just that easy. And that's a difference, like something like, say, Phoenix. Oops. That's the difference in like something like Phoenix, which, again, they're doing their best. So I give tons of credit for that. But like if the async node gets DDoSed, you're just kind of screwed. Whereas, like, in order to get out of it, you'd have to force close all your channels, which then you can't touch them for weeks. And then you have to take your recovery phrase, put it in a different wallet, and then reopen channels. It's just a nightmare. Whereas instead of just, like literally, if you're lazy, if you're a noob, or not a noob, but if you're mostly a noob and your wallet's getting DDoS, you just take your recovery phrase, put your seed phrase in, just put it into a different wallet and open that app, and there you go, you're up, you're working. It's like that easy. That's that, like, can't fuck with money. That's the freedom money stuff that gets me going, is like whenever a service goes down or something, and I can just like whoop back around and it still works. That's the cool stuff. Not like, oh, I can't use lightning in my country anymore. Like, that's where it
I
becomes a
mean,
problem.
personal experience. Yeah, personal experience with Monero, Edge Wallet was having problems syncing their nodes, but then Cake came out and they gave a list of the node addresses that they said, hey, use these because these aren't, experiencing those issues. Whipped open the Cake Wallet, plugged in the seed, got my Monero, able to transact and spend.
Yeah, it's the way it
All of
should
5 minutes,
be.
and it wasn't difficult.
And the thing is, when you start to look at when you start to look at the space critically and objectively and just use everything, you start to see the, like, Bitcoin has stagnated since I was using it in 2015, 16. It stagnated. The lightning, for a while, the lightning thing gave like a brief blip of hope until the blocks became marginally more expensive again, and then it's all gone. Not all gone, I'm being dramatic, but it's like not the same. Whereas if you start to like become another chain maxi, it may also be difficult to see the progress. But when you start to like signal out like the wins, like you're looking at like the matrix code going like that, you're like, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. And you start stitching together, you're like, wow, we've come a long ways. Because we have places where it's not up for debate if you can scale on chain anymore. We have lots of cryptocurrencies that are doing massive on-chain scaling of very much more complicated things than simple transactions. We have high-level privacy that's been worked through on quite a few different chains. We have advanced smart contracts programmability, all this kind of stuff. We have instant settlement. We have 51% attack protection slash, other like hybrid proof of work, proof of stake type systems that, work. We get to see token distribution things here and there. And like all these innovations are like, they're not all on the same chain, unfortunately, but they're all over the place and they're cropping up and they're going forward. And there's a few extra things that's like, okay, well, now there's a project like the Descent, like the Shapeshift, what Shapeshift used to do, like the cross-chain swaps. The now Thorchain, now there's Maya Protocol, now there's Chainflip, now there's going to be Sarai. There's like all these things happening, and it's like, okay, but you still need a website. You still need a front end to like run those, and that can be taken down, even if the underlying network's good. And then you have, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but now someone's working on that as well to make a front end like a smart contract to where you can just deploy it and it's just out. It's just out there. And so you can't, it's like, okay, we're starting to fix all these very critical problems. I don't know if you heard of DPIN. I don't even know what it stands for, but it's basically DAWSing crypto. And there's a bunch of projects that are focusing on these kinds of sites where you can like store all your node, you do all your like virtual servers and stuff, all your node infrastructure on Web3 rails somehow. And because you need a KYC if you want to run stuff on Amazon Web Services right now. But now there's replacements that are coming that you can just pay natively in crypto, and like it's all coming together. Is my point. It's all coming together. Yeah. It's not there, but I could
see. You're looking at it everything holistically. It's not just, you know, isolated. This is perfect. And I would agree with you on that one. There's a lot of progress on a lot of different chains.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. You know, we'll see if we're here in another 10 years.
I mean,
or behind bars. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I might be posing with like thug life pictures with Ross Ulbricht in 10 years. Let's hope not. But let's hope we're both out. But you know,
yeah.
I mean, speaking of which, like, so 10 years, either we're all going to be out and fine, or we're all going to be in there and fine. But then 20 years is like the jailbreak. That's when we actually like. Like, you know, send the little like drones filled with like tannerite into the walls, and like, yeah, this should not be construed as anything other than a pure work of fiction, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're coming up on interesting times. It's probably good, like, transition away, slash, I hate to use a trigger word, but a transition away, slash, wrap up point. What fun stuff do you want to shill or promote? What have you been working on lately? Right.
So I have roguemoney.shop. That's the apparel store that I'm going to be launching very soon. We got all our crypto payment, you know, point of sales worked out. And the idea is it's just the place for me to share my design work with individuals who want a part of it. If I've been doing a lot of work, you know, in for Bitcoin companies, for crypto companies as well, doing graphic design and video editing now, which is great. I love it. And being paid directly in crypto of choice is great. And I don't have to fight them to try to pay me in cryptocurrencies. And so this one is just, I hope people enjoy the designs that come out, you know, support the ideas that will be promoted from it. There's some other stuff that I'm working on. They're a little bigger in nature. Don't want to share too much, but it'll be fun. And there's some exclusives that, you know, getting the studio to work on that's focusing on more freedom aspect content. Let's just say that we're going to try to bring a nice, sexy spin to the idea of being free.
Yeah. You mean by being like clothing free? Is that where you're going on this?
No, it's the ideas of like sovereignty, you know, and promoting them. Because right now, when we have all this, anything in the entertainment space that's crypto wise, it's usually just a documentary. It's nothing that's really entertaining to watch. It's not something you want to share with your friends because you kind of feel a little, you know, nerdish about, hey, watch this doc about, you know, Bitcoin or Dash or whatever. Instead, the idea is making content that is entertainment first, and then something that, you know, includes the message of being sovereign, you know, and then very shareable content that you want to give out to your friends and family, let them watch too. But that's a bigger project than anything.
Yeah, that could be lots of cool stuff. Yeah, it's gonna be exciting. Are you at all? Any trepidation about being free from the Hollywood shackles, or is that happily behind you at this point?
Happily behind me for now. Hollywood does come out every now and then, and it's been nice to say no.
They're gonna come up to you while you're chopping wood, and they're like, "We need you for one last mission." Like, I told you, I'm retired.
Yeah, I actually had that happen to me a couple weeks ago. A pilot that I had produced looked like it was getting traction. They wanted me to come back on board as director and producer. And there was a nice fiat figure attached to it, but knowing, like, I just can't work in that space right now. I just happily said no. And I'd rather do this instead. So.
Yeah, I understand. mean, I just like, I have probably about four, maybe four times, three, I don't know, just very low single digit number of times over the last 8 years. I've been like, it would be so easy to just freaking get a bank account back again. It's, but then like, I just like get that for a second, and then I just like get so like, I would kill myself. It would kill me to do that. Like, not just because I'm so stubborn and entrenched, but just like, I know that whole thing now. I've got a little app and I got to check the balance and then, like, put your thing on hold because of this. And, like, you know, verify you're right. Like, no, I can't. I'm not.
Man, you once you're out of the matrix, it's hard to get back in.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Hollywood right now. It's like I'm out, you know, at least for the time being, unless my stipulation is that it's got to be something that I find worth my time. And it's not the money anymore. I'm okay. I have enough. I have fucking money. Not to the level of, you know, driving around in Bugattis and mansions and
So you're not
whatever.
moving to Dubai.
No. But I'm okay where I can say no, and I'm happy, and I can focus my time on things that matter. So right now it's, you know, okay, I have my own apparel, you know, company starting up. I have entertainment things that I'm working on, you know, self-financing. And I get to spend my time working with the Bitcoin Bay Foundation, which is all about educating people about freedom money and circular economies. You know, we're not doing the whole number go up trading bullshit. This is like, hey, we want to make something happen, you know, and get the foundations first. And that's really what it is the basics. After that, if they want to venture off into different type of projects, you know, by all means, it's up to you, free market. You're a free person. That's the idea. But you know, it's doing stuff that makes me feel like my time is valuable. That's the big
That
win.
this is the way, for sure. All right. Well, thanks for being on. Everyone, follow the rarest of passengers on X for some quality shit posting at Rare Passenger. There's a especially that the laughing meme. That was a good one. Just scroll through his feed. You're very prolific on there. I'm not nearly as prolific. I post like two, three times a day on a good day, but. Yeah, keep the content flowing.
Yeah, for
Get
sure,
this man
man.
monetized, and because he can turn his KYC fiat whatever into at least Bitcoin instantly. So whatever, it's worth it.
Yep.
Better than nothing. All right, so everyone, thanks for watching. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Don't forget, your phone is spying on you. Taxation is theft. Fiat is a scam. Live on crypto is too late, and shut down your Lightning node. See you guys around.